Will God give eternal life to those who work for it? That's what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We are currently in the middle of a series about the King Jesus debate. If you haven't heard of that, then you can go back and listen to previous episodes on our website, faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. We're going over an issue that's known as the King Jesus Gospel debate. It's kind of a debate that's arisen recently between Matthew Bates and Scott Knight on one side, and the Gospel Coalition, the Together with the Gospel People, on the other side, and that includes John MacArthur, John Piper, the late R.C. Sproul, and others. The interesting thing is we kind of see that as a debate between people who believe in lordship salvation. One of the key terms in the debate, and which makes it of concern to us, is that the King Jesus Gospel people say we're saved by faith, but faith defined as allegiance, faith defined as bodily loyalty, faith defined as, well, basically, it works. It's,
right?
It's just another word for works. And although they're disagreeing with John MacArthur and John Piper and those other guys over this and where justification by faith is supposed to fit in the gospel, really, we see them as being all on the same side, because we really see John Piper and John MacArthur as teaching that salvation really is by works at the end of the day. Well, at the end of the last episode, we were looking at an article by John MacArthur, and MacArthur was calling attention to certain verses that call on Christians to persevere in the faith.
Right.
For sure, those verses are in the New Testament. The question is, what do they mean?
Right. They teach the opposite of what MacArthur is arguing. Now, one of them that he confuses that I mentioned was Romans 2:7. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. He says that Paul declared that God will give eternal life to those who by perseverance in doing good works seek for these things. Basically, what Dr. MacArthur is saying here, although I doubt he means to say this, is God gives eternal life to those who work for it.
Let's read Paul here. Okay, let's read Paul. I want to give Dr. MacArthur some type of credit here. Is he a doctor, by the way?
Well, he's got an honorary doctorate,
okay.
Yeah.
Paul says in Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 5, let's say, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." So it does sound like Paul is saying God is going to render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to these guys and wrath to these other guys.
And basically the confusion that MacArthur has is he doesn't see that Romans chapter 2 is dealing with the moralist, the person who thinks I can make it into the kingdom by my good works.
Mm.
What Paul is trying to show here, and this is leading up to Romans chapter 3, which by the works of the law, no one can be justified.
Right.
What he's trying to show is that the only way you could be justified by your works is if you were perfect.
Mm.
And he goes on to say in verse 13, "For not the hearers of the law are just in his sight," just
right.
means righteous or justified, "but the doers of the law will be justified." Well, the normal, I would say normal, understanding of Romans 2:13, and that also goes back to Romans 2, verses 6 and 7, is that Paul is speaking hypothetically here.
Mm.
If you could be perfect and never sin, then you could be justified by works. But unless you have Paul contradicting himself, later on in chapter 3, he says that no one can be justified by the works of the law. In chapter 3 and verse 19, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." Verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight."
Right.
"For by the law is the knowledge of sin." MacArthur's understanding of Romans 2:7 and Romans 2:13 contradicts Romans 3:20. And so,
basically, you have to follow Paul's whole argument.
Right. You can't just pull out this verse and say that. And what this is the example of what's called proof texting that is horribly gone wrong. Because this doesn't prove his point that you need to persevere to gain everlasting life. We have everlasting life the moment we believe.
Right.
Jesus said in John 11:26, "He who lives and believes in me shall never die." So the moment a living human being believes in Jesus, he's guaranteed he's never going to die spiritually. Or John 6:47, "He who believes in me, present tense, has everlasting life."
Right.
I don't get it when I die, I have it now. So this is a bad example. And another one he uses is Colossians 1:22 and 23, or actually 21-23. Could you read that, Sean?
This is what it says. Let me start at verse 21. "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." So there's a conditionality here, and the condition is you will be presented holy and blameless and above reproach if you continue in the faith. And so for MacArthur, that means you will get final eternal salvation if you continue in the faith.
And the problem with that view is that's not at all what Paul says. Anybody that's familiar with Paul's theology of the judgment seat of Christ and of eternal rewards knows, and this isn't just Paul's, this is the teaching of Jesus in the parable of the minas or the parable of the talents. This is the teaching of Jesus when he talked about laying up treasure in heaven, Matthew 6:19-21, not on earth. It's also the teaching of Jesus in the book of Revelation, mm-hmm. especially chapter 22, around verses 12 through 17. And the Apostle Paul teaches the same thing, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John. They all teach that we're held accountable and will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Mm. John said in 1 John 2:28, which I think is the theme verse, "My little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence or boldness and not shrink back in shame
right.
at his coming." So when he's talking here, Paul is, about being presented by Jesus, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, and the believer might be presented that way, but only if he continues in the faith. If he doesn't continue in the faith, then he's not going to be found to have been holy, blameless, and beyond reproach in this life.
Right.
He'll still get in the kingdom, but he's going to have shame.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, how absolute is this? As good as I might try to live my life for Christ, I can't imagine myself being presented to him totally blameless.
Right. I have an article on this at our website at faithalone.org, and Charlie Bing has an article on this passage in BibSac, Dallas Seminary's journal, Bibliotheca Sacra. You can look it up online. And both of us argue that these words, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach, are used of the experience of a believer. For example, an elder has to be all these things.
Mm.
So it's not a sinless experience.
Okay.
It's an experience that is set apart from the world.
Mm.
This person will be one who's walking in the light, walking in the truth of God's word, but the person sins, and so they confess their sins, 1 John 1:9,
mm-hmm.
and they are someone who's having an experience that we would call a righteous experience. For example, in Luke 1, both Elizabeth and Zacharias, the parents of John the Baptist, are called righteous. They're both righteous people in their experience. That doesn't mean they were sinless.
And so that's part of your argument, then. This is a judgment seat of Christ.
It's a judgment
because
seat.
Because if it was salvation, you could see these as positional terms.
Right, but obviously Paul is not talking here about our position
mm-hmm.
because it's conditional, if indeed you continue.
Right.
And by the way, this contradicts MacArthur's position because it says it's not guaranteed we'll continue, which MacArthur agrees with. He's just going to say if you don't continue, you prove you really weren't born again.
Right.
But that's kind of silly because Paul is writing to the Colossians, whom he calls believers
mm.
and brethren. Now, by the way, I think we have time to go over one other passage that John MacArthur cites, and that's 1 Timothy 4:16. The translation that Dr. MacArthur gives is a little bit different.
Here's the New King James. It says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you.
Now, MacArthur has a translation which I don't know, but he says you will ensure salvation. But that's not what the Greek says. It says you will save yourself and you will save those who hear you.
Okay.
Well, does Timothy save himself? That's what the text says.
Mm.
And does he save those who hear him? Yes. Again, this comes back to the word save, and I have a chapter on that in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words. 7 times out of 10, the word saved in the New Testament refers to some sort of salvation from something in this life, and that's true here.
Right.
The issue all the way through 1 Timothy is there are false teachers, and the false teachers are endangering the believers in Ephesus where Timothy is ministering. And so Timothy is to pay attention to himself and his teaching so that he might save himself and his hearers from the false teachers and their false doctrine.
Right. So this isn't eternal salvation. This is a deliverance from a particular danger.
Right. Obviously, Timothy can't save anybody.
Right.
And you and I can't save anybody. Now, I mean, I suppose in a loose sense, if we lead someone to faith in Christ, in a loose sense, we've somehow been involved in the salvation of someone. But here, it's clearly talking about Timothy saving himself and his hearers, and the issue is from false teachers.
Right.
So again, although I'm sure that John MacArthur is well-intentioned here, he's taking this verse out of context. And that's the problem with all of these, is every one of them is taken out of context. Maybe in the next episode, we can look at the rest of his article, Philippians 2:12, what does it mean to work out your salvation?
That's the title of this article, right? What does it mean to work out your salvation? It sounds like the point you're making, the big point you're making, is that there are different types of salvation.
Right.
And there are some salvations that we do have to work out ourselves, such as salvation from false teachers. But when it comes to eternal salvation, there's only one person who can save us, and that's Jesus.
Absolutely.
And he does that by faith, apart from works.
Right.
Be sure to tune in next time as we continue this discussion of what it means to work out your salvation.
Thank you guys for that great and thorough discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've made it to another Friday. I'm looking forward to the weekend. I hope you are as well. We'll be back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.